Good evening. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open it to a very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. As Brother Michael said this morning, I will be short in stature only, so you'll have to put up with the rest. I want to thank Pastor for allowing me this opportunity to preach tonight, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we will read beginning in verse number 14 to chapter 3, verse number 4. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this time tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the power of thy word. I pray that you would use it tonight to speak to our hearts, and I pray that we would do a spiritual examination, an internal examination of our own selves. And Lord, I pray that we would be honest with you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would respond to the working of your Holy Spirit. I ask that you would give me power from upon high. I ask that you would guide me and control me. I yield myself unto thee. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, when I first heard about Facebook, I was really hesitant to get into Facebook. How many of you were ever like that? Okay. I struggled with it because I thought, how is Facebook any different than MySpace? You know, and I heard a lot of people, a lot of Christians I knew, getting into Facebook and asking me if I had Facebook and this and that. And I thought, no, what are you talking about? No, I'm not going to get into Facebook. Until a friend of ours went through a very trying time in her life. She had developed bone cancer in her leg, and she was about to have it amputated. And we wanted to get in contact with her, and somebody said, the way you can get in contact with her is you can follow her on her group page on Facebook. I thought, oh, I don't want to have to do that. Then I saw somebody very influential and someone very dear to me who had a Facebook. I won't tell you who it was because I don't want to embarrass Brother Beal. But anyway, I saw that he had one, and so I thought, well, if he has one, then I know I'll do it. So I got on the Facebook, and he was my very first friend. And I did it just so that I can keep in contact with this girl that we had known for a long time. And then when all of a sudden, when people found out that I also had a Facebook account, all of a sudden I was flooded with this deluge of friend requests. That ever happened to anybody else? Just, well, me? Okay, anyway. Well, I thought, you know, what is this Facebook thing all about? And, you know, for these last couple of years, I found it to be useful in some cases. But there were times in the beginning when I first got into Facebook that it was so irritating. Especially these surveys that came out. I don't know how many of you remember the surveys that came out. There were some surveys that came out that said, what color is your personality? And if you answer several questions and then all of a sudden that color was you, that's your personality. I thought, how dumb is that? And then there was even this one survey, maybe you remember it, if you have a Facebook account, maybe you remember it. It was, which Disney character are you? How many of you remember that survey? Okay, all right. And I thought, why do I even have to fill this out? I know what Disney character I am. I'm either grumpy or goofy, depending on which week, day of the week it was, you know. So I didn't even fill any of that stuff out. But you know, it hit me that all these people today want to find out what category you fit in. Where are you? And as I look around in this congregation, you know, I see different types of people, different ages, different colors, different sizes, and we can put ourselves into different categories. And in this day and age, people are constantly asking this question, where do you fit in? Well, we are all the time trying to put people into different categories. We sometimes judge people and fit them in a category. You know, economically, we try to find out what category people are in. They're either rich, middle class, or poor. Socially, they're either cultured or uncultured. academically, well, you know, when it comes to speaking of the educated, they're either intellectual or they're illiterate. That means dumb or smart. Well, you know, for those of you who don't know what illiterate means. But anyway, people are always trying to categorize you into a box and classify you. Well, do you realize God has put every single one of us in a classification? And He has separated us into one of two categories, and it is this, saved or unsaved. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In that verse, He says there are people who look at the gospel. Those are the ones who look at the gospel of foolishness. They are perishing. And the rest of us, which are saved, it's the power of God. So He categorizes people saved or unsaved. And this passage also introduces us to categories into which every person in this room can be classified. This passage breaks down all of humanity according to their spiritual level in response to the things of God. Now, every person in this building will fall into one of these categories. So as the Lord gives liberty today, I'd like for us to take a look in this context and ask ourselves this simple question. And I would ask that you be honest with yourself and honest with God and do an internal examination and ask yourself, where do I fit in these categories? Where do I fit in these categories? Now, as I said earlier, God puts us in one of two categories, saved or unsaved, and that's what's going to happen here. But He also breaks down the saved category into two different categories, and we're going to take a look at that tonight. The first category that we see here in this passage is the spiritually ignorant man. The spiritually ignorant man. Look in verse number 14 of chapter number 2. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Here, some people have categorized this individual as the natural man. He is the spiritually ignorant man. You see, the natural man is a person who lives a soulish life in his natural Adamic nature. He is influenced by his natural selfish, sensual inclinations rather than the Spirit of God. He is a scoffer and he's a rejecter still in his natural sinful ways. He lives to feed his appetites and desires of the flesh. He's under the influence of his carnal, fleshly, worldly nature. He is still in his born sinful, godless ways. He is totally separate from God, not having the Spirit of God dwelling in him. Simply put, this man, the natural man, the spiritually ignorant man, is a lost person. He may be a church member. He may be a good man, moral, but he is still lost. And this passage shows us several characteristics about the spiritually ignorant man or the natural man. Notice how God characterizes the natural or spiritually ignorant man. Number one, the spiritually ignorant man does not accept the things of God. It says there in verse number 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." This is because he doesn't have God residing in him. He deliberately rejects the things of God. He wills not to accept the revelation of God because he loves darkness rather than light. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "In him," that's speaking of Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Unsaved world, unsaved people did not comprehend this man, Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You see, the unsaved man, the natural man, the spiritually ignorant man, hates the light. He doesn't want to go to the light. Why? Because the closer you get to the light, the more about you is revealed. And he doesn't want these things about him to be revealed. Therefore, he hates the light because his deeds are evil. And the natural man, the unsaved man, doesn't want to hear the things of the Spirit of God because it is convicting to him. He hates it. I can preach a hard message and one person will soak everything up and make decisions, but another person can hear the exact same message in the exact same building, but they will totally reject the message and totally shut God out and will not make any decisions at all. You see, the spiritually ignorant man will not accept spiritual things. And so, folks, you know, we need to remember that unsaved people cannot be expected to live like Christians. Many times we are in the world and we're in the community and we hear unsaved people say things and act a certain way and we rebuke them because they don't act like we do. You know what happens? That's casting pearl before swine. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. I remember when I was first saved in Italy and I started going to work and people would use God's name in vain on a regular basis and they would use profanity after profanity and I got so mad. And I finally went to one guy and I said, listen, please excuse this illustration, but I totally mean it, still believe it. I went up to that individual and I said, listen, stop saying that. God's last name is not damn, so stop saying it. That was wrong for me to do because he didn't get it. He didn't understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Not only does he not accept the things of God, but secondly, I want you to see another characteristic of the spiritual ignorant man, and that is he does not approve the things of God. Again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Literally, the things of God are foolish to the spiritually ignorant man. That word foolishness gives us the English word moron. To the lost man, the things of God and spiritual things are moronic. You see, he doesn't understand or agree with any type of spiritual expression. When he's exposed to the things of God or the spiritual expression, he becomes very uncomfortable. To the unsaved man, spiritual things are nonsensical, irrational, intellectually weak. He refuses to agree with spiritual things because it makes no logical sense to his Adamic, nonsensical mind. And that's biblical, because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A natural, unsaved man cannot think the way God does. He doesn't approve of the things of God. Why does it not make sense? Because he's influenced by his carnal wisdom and by the world's philosophy. His basis of authority for his life is himself, his intellect, and the world, not God and his word. You see, many people today live their lives totally disagreeing with God. They don't get the things of God. They do not accept the things of God. That is a spiritually ignorant, natural, unsaved man. I ask you this question. What do you base your life upon? What is your authority? You see, the natural, unsaved, spiritually ignorant man doesn't want to read the Bible. Do you? The natural, unsaved man, the spiritually ignorant man, has no desire to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You know, I look around sometimes, I see young people, their eyes are glazed, not even paying attention to the preaching. You know what that sends a message? Not just to the preacher, but to God. Sends a message that you don't care what God has for you. I see people today who would have the Bible open when the preacher reads it and then close it, never look at it again, set it aside. And they don't open their Bibles again until either Wednesday or the next Sunday. An unsaved man has no desire on a regular basis for the things of God. He does not accept them. He does not approve of them. Do you agree with a biblical view of music? Do you have a biblical view of entertainment? Of your vocation? Of dating? I mean, I can go on and on and on. Not only does a spiritually ignorant man, the natural man, not accept the things of God, nor does he approve the things of God, but number three, I want you to see another characteristic in that he does not apprehend the things of God. Again, in verse number 14, it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, the spiritually ignorant man, the natural man, the unsaved man, doesn't grasp the things of God. It literally means that he is not able to receive the things of God. He is spiritually, because he is spiritually dead in his sins. Now, folks, Please do not get me wrong. I am not talking about the same type of thinking in that school of thought of religion where people who trollop in the tulips think. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm not talking about this inability to accept the things of God any more than this pulpit is able to accept the things of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this spiritually ignorant man is not able to accept the things of God because he has willingly already rejected the things of God and doesn't want to have anything to do with it. That's why he cannot accept the things of God. Let me give you a quick illustration. How many of you here like to follow college football? Several of you over here. Are you a Georgia Bulldog fan? Okay. I figured he would be a Georgia Bulldog fan. What are you? Tennessee Volunteer fan. Do we have any Notre Dame fans here? None. Good. We can talk about them. All right. Okay. To me, I don't mind seeing anybody win the national championship. My team is the Southern California Trojans, and I know many people think, oh, you root for the cheaters. Well, you know, I don't play for them, so don't make me part of them as in character, okay? I'm not a cheater. They are, okay? But that's been my team ever since I was a kid. But they always had this rivalry with Notre Dame. And so I've never liked Notre Dame. And so to me, a good college season is if Notre Dame doesn't win the national championship, okay? And that's fine, you know, if anybody else wins and Southern Cal doesn't win. But if Notre Dame doesn't win, it's a great season, you know. And yesterday I was really pulling for Pitt. Anyway, you cannot convince me to root for Notre Dame in any way, shape, or form. I am at this point fully incapable of receiving anything that Notre Dame has to offer because I have willingly rejected Notre Dame football or anything Notre Dame. Okay? Well, when it comes to the things of God, the natural man, the unsaved man, also has willingly rejected the things of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You see, these scoffers, these mockers, cannot understand the six-day creation of the universe. They do not understand the worldwide flood. Why? Because they willingly are ignorant of these things. They chose to be ignorant of these things. And that's the same way with an unsaved man. He cannot receive the things of God. He cannot grasp them. He cannot apprehend them because he has willingly chosen to do so. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The natural man, the spiritually ignorant man, is dead spiritually and he will not grasp spiritual things. Because he has rejected God, he is incapable of apprehending spiritual things. Now let me ask you, do you fall in this category? Number two, the second category that we find, the unsaved category, which is the natural man or the spiritually ignorant man. The second category is the saved category, but God breaks it down into two different categories. And the one that we see in this passage is the spiritually influenced man. Look in verse number 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here is the spiritual man who lives supernaturally. That is, he lives a spiritual life. Now, lest you get it wrong, I'm not talking about the spiritual that is the whoa type of spiritual, you know, this feeling weird and type of thing. No, I'm talking about the individual who lives his life pertaining to the sacred things of God. That's the spiritual man. He lives his life not in the old dead nature, but he lives his life in the authority and the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. The spiritual man, and every saved person for that matter, still has two natures. He has the fleshly nature, the Adamic nature, and he has a new nature. The spiritual man is one who allows Christ to rule his life. You see, for the spiritual man, Jesus is not just present in his life, but he is preeminent in his life. Jesus does not just reside in his life, but Jesus presides in his life. And these verses reveal a couple characteristics about the spiritual man's life, about the spiritually influenced man. Number one, first of all, he is capable of discernment. As you see there in verse 15, it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That word judgeth means to examine or to discern. The spiritual man is alive in the Spirit, and he's equipped by the Spirit of God and is open to the truths of God. It is not foolishness to him, but rather it is a fountain of life. It is like food to his hungry soul, and he delights in the things of God. The spiritual man, the one who is more inclined to sacred things of God, has a hunger for the things of God. That's the spiritual man, the spiritually influenced man. And verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, the spiritually influenced man has the mind of Christ, and that's what influences him in his life. It's the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand, this ability to receive and understand the things of God does not depend upon a person's IQ or academic ability. And it doesn't depend on how long a person's been saved. I have seen people who have been saved for decades and are still spiritually immature. And I've seen people who have been saved for a short period of time but growing exponentially. You see, he's capable of discernment. A surrendered believer does not have to have several theological degrees to understand the things of God. The Bible says in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of God, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The spiritual man is drawn to the things of God and to the truths of God as a magnet is drawn to metal. Not only is he capable of discernment and is able to make the right decisions. By the way, even a young person can be discerning. Do you realize that? You don't have to have completed Bible college to be a spiritual individual. You can have this spiritual discernment because the Spirit of God lives in you and guides you into all truth. But not only is he capable of discernment, but secondly, he's also a cause of amazement. Look in verse 15, it says, yet he himself is judged of no man. That means that even folks around him are not able to judge him, not able to discern him. They don't get it. They don't understand him. That is, the world around him doesn't understand the spiritually influenced man's feelings and principles and views and hopes and fears and joys. And they cannot be fully understood and appreciated by the unsaved man. The unsaved man does not comprehend the principles by which motivate the spiritual individual. He does not enter into the spiritual man's joys. He does not sympathize with him in his feelings because they are influenced by two different things. The spiritual man is influenced by God and his word, and the natural man is influenced by his intellect and society. And because when he sees the spiritually influenced man act not the way everyone else would act, he doesn't get it. He can't judge him. He can't make a judgment upon him. And it baffles and bothers the man of the world. You see, the spiritually influenced man can have peace and joy in the midst of a difficult time. He doesn't get that. It's like Job that was preached about this morning. There's Job who lost his children, lost his home, he lost his crops. Yet he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Unsaved people don't get that. I can remember when we were going through this whole ordeal with Joshua and we were in the hospital, and many nights before we would shut down for the night, our family would get together. We would hold hands and sometimes even have a group hug session, you know, and we would pray together and we would hug each other and give each other a kiss goodnight and everything. And we'd all go to sleep. We'd get up in the morning. We would pray. I would get up earlier than most people, and even before the people in the ICU waiting room were awake, and I would be up reading my Bible and praying and on my knees. And many times I would be up on my knees while people start stirring, and I would spend hours in prayer. And I can remember one time this lady came up to me and she said, sir, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we've been watching your family. And we have heard about what your family is going through, and we don't understand how you and your family can continue like you do, knowing that your son's up there in ICU with brain damage. See, the world doesn't understand things that spiritual men do when they trust in God. It's a cause for amazement. They are judged of no man. You see, the spiritual man or the spiritually influenced man has standards and convictions, and he lives them out and he isn't obnoxious and overbearing about them. The spiritually influenced man is a constant source of amazement to the natural man or to the spiritually ignorant man. Now, I ask you this question. Do you fall in that category? Not only do we see the spiritually ignorant man and the spiritually influenced man, but I want you to see the third category that God gives us in this passage, and that is the spiritually immature man or the carnal man. Look in chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" This third category offered in this text is that of the spiritually immature man. Now this person is a saved individual, but he lives his life dominated by his flesh. Everything in his life is decided by how it affects his senses and how it makes him feel. He lives according to his flesh. The carnal man is a believer, but he is dominated by his own natural fleshly desires. Now, if you did not know that the church of Corinth were believers, you would think that they were unsaved people. I mean, if you did not know that they were brethren that Paul addressed them as, you would think these people that we read about who are taking each other to court, who are having immorality with their family members, who are doing all these different things, they're taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, they are using emotions and speaking in tongues and all these things in such a wrong way, you would think they were unsaved people. But they were saved people dominated by their flesh. Now, the spiritually immature man still continues to have the two natures like the spiritual man, but he is dominated by his old way of life. He quenches the influence of the Spirit of God in his life either through rebellion or negligence. Often the carnal believer cannot be discerned from the lost sinner. And a good example of this was a man by the name of Lot. Do you remember him in the Old Testament? Lot, in Genesis chapter 13 and chapter 19, you can conclude that he was a lost man if you only had the Old Testament account of him. But when we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, that the Bible describes him as just Lot or justified Lot, you discover that he was a righteous man. He was a justified individual. But he was a carnal individual. He lived to appease his flesh. And the Bible even tells us that he vexed his righteous soul day by day. See, he was miserable. Because he was a saved individual, he was still miserable. Now, I want you to see the characteristics that God gives us here in this passage about the spiritually immature man. Number one, I want you to see his maturity level. In verse 1, it says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what?" What? Babes in Christ. Paul says that the spiritually immature individual is a baby. He started out the right way. He's been born again, but he's progressed no further. The carnal believer, the spiritually immature man, suffers from what I have deemed arrested development spiritually. Now, folks, babies are cute. They're precious. And they're designed to grow up and become adults. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. It is fitting and normal to start out as a baby, but it is tragic to remain that way. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I ask you, have you grown closer to the Lord in the last year? Are you closer to God today than you were this time last year? Or have you been suffering from arrested development? You see, spiritually immature men are like babies. They gripe and they cry, they whine, and often call attention to themselves. And the tragedy of this is that God did not save people to stay babies. He saved us to grow into the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, or a mature individual, a grown up, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My dear friends, your spiritual maturity level is not measured by your scriptural intellect, but rather by your scriptural integration into your life. May I say that one more time? Your spiritual maturity level is not measured by your scriptural intellect, but rather by your scriptural integration into your life. You can know all the scripture in your mind, but if you do not apply it in your lives, you could still be a baby. You can have biblical education, you can even have degrees, but without that application or personalization, you still need to grow. Not only do we see his maturity level, but number two, I want you to see his menu. It goes on to say in verse number two, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. You see, the carnal believer, the spiritually immature man, is still on milk spiritually. And milk is fine for babies. That's great. That's wonderful. But you know, they need to move on to other things. 2 Peter 2:2, as we mature, we are supposed to move on. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We ought to have a hunger and desire for the spiritual milk of God's word. You know, the basic foundations of the things of God, how that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, that ought to make us excited. It ought to make us excited to know that we have a Word of God here that will guide us and lead us in difficult times. It ought to excite us and keep us on fire and make us thirsty and hunger for more to know that we have a God in heaven whom we can trust in any situation. Yes, those are wonderful things, but that's milk, folks. It is high time we get down to the meat of the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, the very reason why, here's the reason why many people are not growing in the Lord. They don't want to go on into the deeper things of God than they already are in right now. They're satisfied, spiritually content. Oh, I'm good, I'm fine. And you know what? A lot of times, folks, it happens with people who have already had biblical degrees. Oh, I've got my degree now. This kid can't teach me anything. Oh, I've heard it all before. I don't need it anymore. You know what that sounds like? The Laodicean church. We're rich and increased with goods and have needed nothing, and we know not that we are wretched, blind, miserable, poor, and naked. You see, preachers try to lead us into deeper things in the Bible, but because we're not able to bear it, we get spiritual indigestion because of the worldly garbage that's already in our system. We come to church and we put our mind in neutral, like some of you are already. And you don't think, your mind's somewhere else. In other words, as long as you stay simple and you simply feed on gospel light, L-I-T-E, you are happy. You talk about your life, you talk about occasionally things of the Lord, talk some about the church, but you keep it light. But when you're confronted with the deeper truths of the Word of God that call for commitment, that call for a change of life, you get an upset stomach and you spit up just like a little baby. How many of you here believe in salvation by faith and not by works alone? Can you prove it in Scripture? How many of you here believe in the deity of Christ? Can you prove it in Scripture? How many of you here believe that the Bible is literally the Word of God, not that it contains God's Word, but it is the Word of God? Can you prove it? Can you prove it? Oh, I'll let the preacher do that. Well, why? The Bible, doesn't it tell us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Friend, you will never get out of the spiritual nursery until you begin to dig your spiritual teeth into the deeper truths of the word of God on your own. Too many times, people come to church, sit in the pew, they put on a spiritual bib, and they say, "Preacher, feed me." And the only time they get fed is on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays if they show up. Not only do we see his maturity level and his menu, but number three, I want you to see his mannerisms. It goes on to say in verse number three, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" These three mannerisms of the carnal man, if they're evident in your life, there's no other conclusion but this, that you are spiritually immature and carnal. What are these mannerisms? Number one, there's a mannerism of selfishness. Verse 3 says, "For whereas there's among you envying and strife." You see, spiritual babies are envious, meaning they want things only for themselves. Babies, by nature, are selfish creatures. They care about no one else but themselves. They don't care how tired mom and dad are. They don't care what time of day it is. How many of you have little babies at home? Okay? You know what it's like. That baby will wake you up at 2:30 in the morning crying. They don't care. They don't sit there and go, "Well, you know what? Mom and dad really need to get some sleep. And they have an early morning and dad was really, really working hard today. Yesterday, so you know what, I'll let him sleep in today." No, you know what they say? "I want to be changed right now. Take care of me right now." That's what a baby does. As long as they are the center of attention and their needs are being met, they're fine. But when something's wrong in their little world, they cry, they whine, they complain until somebody does it their way. The same is true in the life of the carnal, spiritually immature believer. The focus is always upon himself. It doesn't matter what's best for the church. All that matters is how it affects them personally. And when a spiritually immature believer is unhappy, guess what? Everybody knows it. Just like when you're in a congregation like this and preaching is going on and one baby is unhappy, everybody knows it. You could hear that baby crying even all the way in the back. You see, when a carnal believer is unhappy, they act like a big baby calling attention to themselves. It's all about me. Take care of me. I want, I want, I want. It's selfish. Envying. Number two, not only does he have a mannerism of selfishness, but it goes on to say in verse number three, and strife. That is, they fight. Not only do they have a mannerism of selfishness, but a mannerism of strife. Babies want their way and they're prepared to beat up anybody on the way to get it. How many of you have ever done nursery in the toddler nursery? Where they're old enough now already to crawl, you know? And isn't it interesting that one baby will be playing with one thing and another baby will be playing with another thing and you'll see that other baby and he'll crawl over that baby and grab it? Says, "I want that." What will that other baby do? Pow! Hit him with it. Have you ever seen that? I have. I have. Okay, won't tell you who. Don't want to embarrass my kids. But anyway, you know. But it happens. No, my kids were the ones that were hit. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, you get a couple of babies together, and guess what? There's going to be strife. There's going to be discord. There's going to be dissension. Mark it down, my friend. Anytime there's trouble in your church, anytime there's strife in the school, anytime there's strife in the home, anytime there's strife in your youth group, one, if not both, of the individuals involved is immature or acting in a carnal way. Someone didn't get their way and they want everyone else to know about it. Somebody got their little feelings hurt and they want somebody else to pay for it. It doesn't matter where they're found in the church. You can count on spiritual babies to be at the center of every disturbance in a church. With a baby believer, it's always about them. They're always complaining about someone else or something. They're always tattletaling or talking about someone else. They're always pointing their pudgy little fingers at everyone else, and they never can see that it might just be them that might be the problem. They're easily offended when they're the ones that were wrong. If you find that you're always offended at someone or what they have said or done, if you think you're always getting the short end of the stick, if you think that you're always right and everyone else is wrong, mark it down, you're probably the one that needs to grow up. Not only do we see the mannerism of selfishness and strife, but number three, I want you to see, again in verse number three, it goes on to say, whereas there's among you envying and strife and what? Divisions. The third mannerism is causing splits. Divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You see, the spiritually immature man carries a divisive spirit within him. He's easily offended and always responds by being offensive, and he talks about other people, says about something about somebody else, and if they do not fit in their little clique, well then, they're not saved, or they're not right, or they'll say something about that person and cause divisions in the church. And it goes on to say, again, in verse number 4, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. You know what they're saying there? They're saying, you know what, I'm a part of this group right over here, and if you're not part of my group, then you don't belong with us. If you do not dot your I's and cross your T's just like I do, well, then you don't belong to us. I have been around people who are so critical about other people so much, it's like they have the attitude, we four and no more, and I'm not even sure about the other two, you know? It's like that. They're so critical and judgmental that they're causing divisions everywhere they go. Folks, that is a baby individual. I have been in places where people say, well, you preached at that church? Well, I can't have you at my church. That person didn't graduate from the same school I graduated. So because that person didn't graduate in my school and you preach at that person's church, well, then you can't be at my church. You know what I say to that? I don't want to be at your church because you're being carnal. It's not about Paul or Apollos. We are all of Christ. You see, the carnal believer kills everything he touches. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, a carnal believer kills a Sunday school, a committee, a choir, a testimony service, everything the flesh touches, it dies. Now I close with this. In many churches, Christian schools, colleges, youth groups, there are several minorities and one. There are two minorities and one majority. One minority is the natural man, unsaved man. In this church, there may be somebody who doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, but that's the minority. The other minority is the spiritual man, the few that are truly yielded and influenced by the things of God. But in most churches, you know what the majority is? It's a spiritually immature man. They gripe and they complain and they whine and they fight about everything. I ask you this question. Which category do you fit in today? Who are you today? Are you in the saved category or the unsaved? Be careful how you answer. Are you spiritual or are you carnal? We all are from time to time fleshly. But you can see within your present condition the fact that you are lost, a natural man. Please come to Christ and be saved. If you can see that you are carnal, immature today, you act more like a baby most of the time than you do like a person who is influenced by the things of God, then please come and deal with your problem. Let God begin to mature you today and be honest with yourself and ask yourself, in these categories, where do I fit in? Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly